This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with Bill Kelleher, guitarist for the band Mastodon. Bill, how you doing?
Not too bad, Joe. How's it going with you?
It's going okay. Well, I can tell from the sounds there that you're on tour. You're on the Mayhem Fest tour. How are bands like Slipknot and Disturbed treating you guys?
Oh, excellent, man. Everybody's, everyone gets along real well. Slipknot dudes we've toured with before. We kind of have a little bit of a history with those guys. Let's see, a couple of guys, I haven't met everyone in Disturbed, but a couple of the guys I have met are super cool. We hang out with the dudes in Dragon Force a lot. Sometimes they put us in a room together that's about 10 foot by 10 foot every day, and we just have to go joke around with them and play tricks on each other, and I don't know. It's pretty funny, actually. Good guys, because they don't take themselves too seriously, you know.
Now, on this tour, have you had a chance to play any of your new material?
No, not yet. I think we're just going to save it for when we're after the record comes out. We did play a couple at Bonnaroo. You know, it went over kind of whatever, but it was we'd never played them out live before, and we had people who like videotaped it, of course, and put it all over the internet. We kind of don't want the songs leaking yet, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I think we're going to kind of hold off until the record actually comes out.
How far along into the new record are you guys?
Well, we're pretty much done with it. We've got 7 songs, and I think it's about 50 minutes or so.
Okay.
And it's an amazing record. I think it's by far our finest piece of work. It's basically all we have to do when we get home in about a month is just mix it and master it, maybe add a couple more guitar parts here and there, and maybe redo a vocal or two and put some keyboards down. We got a keyboardist who's playing on the record.
Oh yeah, this is a new this is a new addition, right?
Yes, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's real proggy and melodic and moody, and it's not don't worry, it's not like gay guitar like Jump or something by Van Halen. It's a little more ethereal ambiance going in there, you know, some soundscapes and noises and stuff like that layered over, intricate guitar parts and whatnot. And it fits in really well. It's not too much, just enough just to be tasteful.
Now, on this record, you're working with the noted producer Brendan O'Brien. What made you guys decide to go with him?
Well, we had a bunch of guys in mind. And he just kind of popped out of nowhere. It's kind of, I don't know. I mean, he's an Atlanta guy. We all live in Atlanta. I've heard of him for a long time, and he's, you know, the rock producer. And they have a great studio that they work out of called Southern Tracks that one of my neighbors actually works at, and he's been trying to get us in there. So you guys really need to come up and lay some stuff down here. Maybe work with Nick DiDia. Or work with Brendan O'Brien. I was like, well, Brendan O'Brien, we're all kind of, well, doesn't he do like Stone Temple Pilots and like Pearl Jam, and he did the Boss record, Bruce Springsteen, and
yep.
Who else has he done? You know, Rage Against the Machine, and you know, bands that aren't quite, but I guess all those records sound amazing. So we're like, well, you know, let's try it out. And it's been like the best experience of our lives recording. It's amazing. Like, he works really fast. Very precise. He's a really good ear. He's a great musician. Plays piano. He'll sing some harmonies here and there. He's like, why don't you guys like try something like this here? This is what I hear right there. And we try it. And we're like, geez, that's great. And we get to go home at the end of the day and sleep in our beds and not have to live somewhere like, across the U.S. like we have in the past, like going out to Seattle or whatnot for 2 months and
right.
renting a car and renting a place to live and all that stuff. So the stress level. Definitely not really there. So no, it's just been great. I mean, when you hear it, you'll know, because he really can just take a band and just really make them sound the way they're supposed to sound. You know, like properly. Not nothing too fancy. No fancy tricks or anything. Just straight up rock and roll. You know, he played some piano on it as well, and guitar stuff, and really helped us out. You know, made us all. He really put us to the test. I think he really was like, I'm going to be really brutal on your music. If a part doesn't really need to be there, like, just take it right out, you know. Okay, well, let's let's see what we can do. And he, you know, helped us, like, we've been basically working on the record for, like, 8 months, 9 months, like, as far as writing it and arranging it. You know, sometimes the songs just are never done. You're just like, okay, where am I going with this song? You know, I really need... We never spend much time, like, writing a record before. We're usually, like, kind of quick in and out of the studio back on tour, you know? This time we had the time to actually really think about it. Put our best foot forward, I guess, and just be brutal with what we're going to, you know, put on this record. And you wrote about 13 songs, I think, for it. We only used 7, but, you know, 50 minutes of material is pretty much breaking point. You know, you don't want to go really too much longer than that.
Right.
Me personally, I might get a little bored and, like, turn it off, you know, after 45, 50 minutes, so. So everything, you know, it's all good. We got a couple extra songs that who knows what we'll do with yet. Use it for something else, maybe. So it's all good stuff, you know.
On Leviathan, you guys told the tale of Moby Dick, and on Blood Mountain, you conjured up all these incredible mutant creatures. Any such storytelling on this new one?
Well, just think, like, maybe time travel and space and out-of-body experiences and Tsarist Russia with Rasputin. There's a little bit of everything in there. I don't want to give away too much, but there's a lot of different themes going on that all kind of tie in together, you know. It's gonna be really interesting. There's a lot of vocals, a lot of, you know, guitar harmonies and melodies that are just sticking out everywhere. I don't want to say it's catchy, but it's like songs, you know, they have a little more substance to them.
Right, right.
So there's 2 songs we have that are, I think, just under like 14 minutes.
Oh my word!
We got some more Opus epics on there.
On Blood Mountain, you guys set such a standard for guitar harmonies. What were the guitar goals on this new one?
We kind of went for a little more of a rock kind of sound and feel, you know, not too overdriven or, you know, distorted. And I really wanted to experiment with other guitars, you know, like I use like a Telecaster on a couple parts, kind of overdubs with like an old Fender twin reverb and like a Holy Grail pedal.
Right.
And, you know, and just some clean, crazy stuff. I'd use a Leslie speaker on a bunch of, you know, acoustic parts that fucking always sounds really good. Obviously, Brendan's got a different idea of guitar tones, and he's more of a rock guy, and he has some good points. Like, yeah, he would have me use more like the distortion from the amp rather than like fancy pedals or whatever to drive, you know, the sound. He's like, let the amp do the work, like, which I kind of do half and half. But since he's kind of more a rock guy, I think he thought my tone was a little too, you know. He's like, well, when you use this pedal, it kind of takes away the bass of the whole sound, you know, whole sound of your sound. So, especially at least on, you know, on tape. I was like, okay, well, let's mess around with some amps, you know. And I always use my JCM 800. I have 3 of them, actually, like a lead series 2210 100 watt tube with 2 channels, which has a great, just, you know, regular rock AC/DC kind of sound. But, you know, I like to get those pinch harmonics in there once in a while. So I've got a Kerry King JCM 800. It's like his own signature model. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's got KT88 in it. Use that, and then I've got the regular Super Lead JCM 800 reissue one, which is one of my favorite amps.
What was it like playing a Tele? Because in the past, I've only known you to be pretty much a Gibson player.
No, it was really interesting. I mean, I've picked them up before, but just to get that, like, real surf kind of, I don't know, twangy tone in the studio, like, under a microscope, you know, it was cool. It's really fun. You know, I'd use some open tunings on certain parts to reach certain notes. I don't know, we just messed around as much as we could. Any ideas that I had, you know, Brendan was just like, you know, he's like, yeah, let's try it. Let's put it down, you know. So I really felt I could be at my creative best. And, I mean, he has a collection of just every kind of amp you could imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got, like, you know, old Fender Twins that are, like, brand new in the box from the 60s or whatever. And he has, about, I don't know, 100 guitars there. The studio old Epiphone, or not Epiphone, but, like, the like Chuck Berry's guitar, the ESs.
Yeah.
And 12, he's got, like, 12, lots of 12 electric 12-strings. I also used I have a custom-made 9-string by First Act.
A 9-string?
Yeah.
Now what?
Double cutaway, you know, kind of like an SG shape, but way, like, twice as thick. The three high strings are doubled up.
Okay.
Matt Pike from High End Player has the same guitar. We kind of ordered them at the same time, not really realizing that we both were getting the same thing, you know?
How does one chord a 9-string guitar?
Well, it's the three high strings are just doubled up, like,
okay.
12 strings. So, I mean, I was kind of using it just for playing higher stuff instead of really chorded stuff, you know, just playing, like, single note stuff that kind of had an eerie, you know, 12-string sound, but on a nice regular electric guitar.
Wow. Now, you've told me in the past that Brent does most of the solos in the studio. Are you doing any of the solos on this new record?
No, I'm not doing any solos. I'm trying to think. Not really. I mean, I'm mostly a rhythm man and do... I might do, like, on Sleeping Giant, I do the beginning with the delayed kind of lead part, but I'm not, like, a fast solo trained dude. I just never have been. I mean, I think it's cool and everything. I wish I could play like that sometimes, but, yeah, I'm more, like, laid back in the pocket, you know, pick out some harmonies or something different to play than what the other guy's playing, yeah. If I feel, like, in the mood and something sounds good, I'm not afraid to try it out, you know?
Blood Mountain you wrote on acoustics, which totally blew my mind. Did you write this album on acoustics as well?
Yeah, a lot of the stuff was definitely written on acoustics. As far as Brent goes, yeah. Stuff I usually write, I just got an acoustic, a Yamaha acoustic,
right.
And I just started playing around with that as much as I can, you know, like, a lot of the stuff that he writes on acoustic guitar, I'm just not used to. I just never had an acoustic guitar, so I never had my fingers really ready to play it, but I think it helped me, definitely helped me just be a better player by grabbing the acoustic that's got, you know, it's not as easy to play, obviously, and sitting on my front porch and just going over each song on acoustic, just over and over and over and over and over, and finally I'm just like, well, I can play it now, like, in a week or whatever, get all these songs. There's a lot of notes going on, a lot of chords, and a lot of chicken-picking stuff going on in
Brent's,
you know, that I still, like, you know, I'm just like, wow, just amazed of, you know, how awesome that stuff is, and what a different world it is for me. So I've been trying to get into, I actually had a friend of mine come over to give me a proper lesson. I've never had a lesson before in my life. So I asked around and they were like, oh, this guy who's, he can play anything. He's amazing. He gives lessons. And he heard that I wanted to take lessons from him. And he was like, he was like around April 1st. And he thought it was a joke. And I actually called him. I was like, dude, no, it's not a joke. Like, I want to learn like a little theory and like maybe a little, some kind of warm-up exercises and scales and whatnot, stuff like that. And you know, he came over and he was just like, we sat down and talked for a while. And he showed me a couple of things that I hadn't really tried before or learned before. So it was, you know, it was interesting. It was only one time though, because he was like, well, I don't want to change your style. Or,
right, right.
You know what I mean? I was like, no, I don't think it'll change my style. It'll just maybe help me improve. But it was all good. I might have to see him again sometime.
Lastly, I have to ask you about the incident that happened to Brent a couple years ago after the MTV Awards when he was very badly injured. What went on with that?
It was just an unfortunate drunken night out. Basically, he was just messing with the wrong people, and you know when you get that inebriated and don't really, you kind of black out or whatever, and then wake up in the hospital and some guy had punched him. Like, kind of sucker punched him, and he fell and hit his head on the concrete and just kind of went into some convulsions and really,
oh my God,
really got messed up, yeah. He had to, I don't know if he was in, he was like, he was in critical condition. He was hurt pretty bad, you know. I don't know, that's just some what happens. He's a little bit of a crazy guy,
yeah.
On the booze. I mean, we all are, but it seems like for him that stuff like that happens, like, kind of follows him around sometimes. He's good now. He's all healed up. He got his nose broken and had to get it fixed. We're in Vegas, and Vegas is a crazy place to begin with, anyway.
Oh, my word. Bill, thank you very much for spending some time with me. When the album comes out, we'll do another interview. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to hear it either.
This is Joe Basso with Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I've been speaking with Bill Kelleher of the band Mastodon. Bill, thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Thank you, Joe. Take care now.
And continued good luck on the tour there.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
We'll talk to you later, man.